Welcome to the Canicut Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in. Well, hello to all of our listeners. We are excited about the show today. Joe, we have a room full of amazing guests that we can't wait to introduce to you. But Joe, tell us first, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so Bethann, every time we get in this studio and put these podcasts together, I just giggle. I smile so big. It's so fun to just to be able to talk to the folks out there and hopefully to just leak a little bit of wisdom. And today we're talking to parents to be, parents who already are, parents who have been, grandparents. We're talking about the subject of raising young men and young ladies. And Bethann, if there's one thing we get to do around here is we get to raise a lot of young men and a lot of young ladies. And the fun thing today, Bethann, in our little recording studio are several men and women who are blessed. Even though their schedules are very demanding, they are blessed to have some of the finest, some of the very finest kids I've ever met in my life. And I've met tens of thousands over the years. But we're talking today to our camp directors. And boy, oh boy, Bethann, do they have some wonderful children. Today we're talking about, with some of the younger parents, what they hope to do, because we've even got some pregnancies in the room here today. And we're talking about what they maybe wish they would have done differently.
That's right, Joe. So first, I'm going to introduce a couple of our couples in the room. And it's kind of a family affair today. We've got Michael and Lindsay Sloan, and then Michael's little sister, Emily, and her husband, Jake Sizelove. And really what is true of both of these families is I just think of the word welcome. They have done an amazing job just welcoming people alongside their families and into their worlds and into their lives. And they're just incredible. And so Michael and Lindsay, they serve over at our family camp, and they are parents to Jackson, who is 1.5, and he is amazing. If you've ever met Jackson, you have a big smile on your face because he always has a big smile on your face. And Jake and Emily get to serve at K Country, one of our elementary age camps, and they are parents of 4, and then number 5 is on the way. So they've got their hands full with an amazing group of kids and both of these families. They're just doing an amazing job already raising these kids.
And Bethann, some of the wisdom around this camp, some of the sages around this camp, and I wish you could be at every camp, whoever's listening, and meet all the camp directors, because every camp director is just such a fantastic human being. But I get to introduce Colin Sparks. Colin is 45 years old. He's our executive director. He's married to Rachel, who's busy being a mom, and she can't be here today. Colin has worked at Canicut for 22 years and brings a lot of wisdom. He is flanked by Matt Houston, who also works in the executive directing role. And Matt is 50 years old, even though he's very youthful. Matt has worked at Canicut for 26 years. And Matt has Hadley 19, Holland 18, Neely 16. He has Tread, who's 15, Bennett, who's 13, Monroe is 9. And by the way, graduating today is Holland at age 18. And she, along with Ella, who's Colin's 17-year-old, Braden, who's Colin's 15-year-old, and Beckett, who's Colin's 13-year-old. It's going to be a big day at the graduating ceremony. Also, I get to introduce Ward and Beth Wiebe. Ward and Beth Wiebe are probably the go-to the most. When I talk to all of our younger camp directors, they talk probably the most about going to Ward for wisdom and going to Beth for wisdom. They are just admired and respected by all the camp directing world. They have two fabulous young men, Mike, who's 33 years old, and AJ, who's 30 years old. Welcome to the podcast, Director's Team. We're glad to have you with us.
So today we're talking about a parent's most prized treasure, your kids. And this is something I'm sure all of you for years you dreamed about. And then mamas, you had those 9 months to carry and prepare for your babies. And then comes that first year of constant feedings and burpings and diaper changings. And then you just look ahead. You've got 18 years of schooling and training. And
yeah, Beth Ann, and my wife's favorite expression is, the days are long, especially when kids are young, but the years are short. It all goes by in a split second. I remember one of my wonderful times with Dr. Dobson when he was talking about how life is like a rope, and the harder you hold on to it, the more it burns your hands. It just yanked through your hands as quick as a second. The time clock of parenting goes by so fast. And that's why we talk a lot about capturing the moments. And those of us in this room whose lives have been very, very demanding as camp directors, when we are with our kids, we cherish every diaper change, and we cherish every time we get to pick up toys and pick up glass of milk that are spilled on the table, because those moments with our kids are golden, Beth Ann. So let's try to capture some moments for all of our parents and future parents who are listening out there today.
Okay, here we go. We're going to play a little ping pong today, Joe. We're going to go back and forth between some of our young parents and some of those who are a little bit more well-seasoned in the room, who, by the way, have done an amazing job raising some kids. And so we're just going to have fun. And our hope today is that maybe there's just a few take-home ideas for anyone out there who hopes to be a mom or a dad one day, or maybe presently that's the season that you're in. We hope that something that is shared could be a benefit to you. So, Beth, we're going to start with you and Ward. Again, your kids are 33 and 30. You also have a cute little grandbaby boy as well. And, you know, you and Ward both, you're so humble. You guys have done an amazing job. But as you would maybe rewind the years and take a look back, is there anything that stands out to you as something that maybe you would have done differently, or something you wish you would have taken more time to build into your kids?
Sure. Beth Ann, Ward, and I, when you had said something about we'd be talking about this, we looked at each other and kind of went, I don't know if I remember, what did we do? It's been a few years since we've done all this. But I think for me, it was kind of exciting because I think we thought of more things that we felt like we did well than maybe that we'd done wrong, which was an encouragement to both of us. Maybe we've just forgotten the bad things and let those kind of drift off into oblivion. But I think for me, looking back as a young mom, when my kids were, you know, preschool, grade school age, I kind of had more of a FOMO, a fear of missing out for my children. You know, I didn't want them being left out or missing out. And so, you know, every time a sports team came around, I was signing them up. And, oh, there's a church choir going? We'll do that. Oh, Awana's is on Wednesday. That'd be great, too. And so I had a tendency to maybe overschedule us because I just didn't want my kids to be the ones that didn't get that opportunity. And looking back, I think our families talked about this actually. It was a great example of what I did in our two trips to Disney World. And the first trip we did when the kids were young, 6 and 9, and I probably had a 10-page spreadsheet of exactly what we do and get up at 7 and we're going to go here and not miss this parade and do this ride and, you know, everything. So by the end of the day, we were all falling into bed, collapsing, had fun, but came home exhausted. So the next time we went a few years later, the kids were like, Mom, can we just like have fun this time? And so we just stepped back a little bit and said, you know what? What do you guys want to do? And we would take a few things and just really enjoy those few things. And so I think if I had some advice for parents, it'd be like, don't feel like you have to do it all. Don't feel like your kids have to experience everything. Just enjoy the things you do choose that they want to do. Be all in and just enjoy that.
Ward, I admire your voice. Ward is a man, a camp director, you're loved, you're admired, you're respected, and most of that's just the way you carry yourself, but the way you raise your voice is just remarkable. But if you could advise our younger parents in this room and our younger parents out there, what advice would you give them as you look back?
Well, with you know, thousands of camp kids running around our property. It's easy for me to say when I think about our own kids. I concur with Beth. We just need to have fun. Remember to have fun growing up. I mean, we made green pancakes and we stayed up late doing crazy things with flashlight tags. We had a lot of fun on our Disney trips and just day to day in the neighborhood. I do want to tell you, Joe, one thing that I would change about raising our kids. Being around camp, you know, there was a rule you couldn't have cars or vehicles in camp because you just didn't want them, you know, we didn't want our kids to be in danger. So Beth reminded me this morning that when she was 8 months pregnant, I would park at the parking lot and make her walk from the parking lot with the laundry, 8 months pregnant in August, because we were following the camp rules. I would change that. I would probably take her into camp and take a ticket from you. I think about two things just for our, I love this has become a family verse for us. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts and deeds. And that comes out of Psalm 145. I think the word I would think about is declaration. I go back, I would talk more about what God has done, more about what God is doing, and more about what he can do. Declare God for who he is. And we did that a lot. We didn't shy away from that. But I would go back to just making God more famous in the home. And then the other thing I would add in, I'm just a scripture guy, but you know, Ephesians 5:15-17 reminds us that time is the most important thing that we have in our lives. And there's a call for us to be careful how we walk and make the most of our time, for the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And as you get a little bit older and you look back over your shoulder, we want to be a family that is about a kingdom agenda, about doing God's work. The more I'm around older folks who have the luxury of looking back, I don't think I hear anybody say, I wish I would have worked more. In fact, they say, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. So we did that. We did a good job of that. Looking back today, I wouldn't be ashamed of doing a great job with that, making sure that we spend time with our kids in extra special ways every day. And there are no Hail Marys in parenting. You can't make up just these long, long passes. It comes day to day, little by little, faithful little things, having fun at the breakfast table, talking about the Word of God and so on. So, yeah, declaration of God's glory and what he is doing and can do, and then being careful about our time and continuing to invest that in kingdom ways with our kids.
That's really good. Thanks, Ward and Beth, for sharing. We're going to jump over to Michael and Lindsay Sloan. You guys are in more of the early years of parenting. Like we said, you've got Jackson. He's just about 1.5 right now. So maybe what's one thing that you guys, as you talk together, that you hope to do really well as you raise this little guy, and how are you maybe accomplishing that?
I've had one goal and a lot of things, and one of them is to never answer questions after the weebies. We're in a tough spot here, and I wish, you know, the wise thing to do would be to steal his answer and go on from there. But something I'll never forget that I was told when I was actually serving summers at K-Country, our team was asking Colin some parenting questions. And I don't know if he remembers this, but he told us, like, name some great qualities you'd want to see in your kids, whether it's in integrity, truthfulness, responsibility, hardworking, all these things, they're learned through a degree of failure. And so, like, we as parents have to be, like, okay with walking our kids through failure. Like, you don't learn the value of being on time until you're late for something, or you're late for an interview and you miss out on an opportunity. And so how do you navigate them through that failure? And, you know, the second part of the question was, how do you plan on getting that done? And I don't know if I've crossed that bridge yet. We're still working on it. So we have a really fun 16-month-old, and it's been an absolute blast. And we're having a really great time. But
Lindsay, what would you say? What's something on your list as you look at raising Jackson that you hope to raise in him?
Man, that's so good. I feel like there's so many things. Have so many things to learn, and so grateful for the people around this table and so many more that we get to learn from. Something that has just, I can't get out of my head, that I heard from a dear friend, was there's just three things that her kids want to teach her kids, is just how to first honor God, to know God, and then enjoy God. And so I just think that is just three easy things that, as sending him off to college, is like, they, those are things that they know who God is. They honor him with his life, and then they just enjoy God. They enjoy learning about him. They enjoy telling other people about him. So I think that's something that I it seems simple to remember, and I think I can hopefully just be able to communicate that well.
And so we're just going to play another game of ping pong here between some of the more seasoned parents and some of the younger parents. This time, Matt Houston, I know your kids well, and boy, oh boy, I admire your kids so much. They're just such neat kids. And I remember when you met Melissa and watching you two grow in a fabulous marriage and watching you as parents that we all look up to around here. Matt, how'd you do it, buddy? How'd you and Melissa make it happen with your family of six great kids?
Well, I appreciate that encouragement. We feel like we're in process. We're learning day by day. And in fact, our oldest Hadley told Melissa recently that she thinks we're better parents for our younger kids than we were for her and some of the older siblings. So it's always good to be held accountable by your kids and encouraged that you're growing and progressing. But I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we've been so spoiled. Our kids have been surrounded by such amazing people. And one tip I give for any parent is surround your kids with people that are saying the same things, but that are cooler and more hip and funnier and that they'll listen to. And so that's one of the things that, you know, through the years at Kanakuk, the counselors become our kids' heroes. And we're so thankful to lock arms with them and have just seen, you know, we're always amazed. Our kids will come home from camp and go, "You won't believe what my counselor said. You know, it really hit home, or it's changing my life." And you're like, "Interesting. I think I heard your mom say something very similar to that a few months ago." But I'm glad that that 20-year-old in your cabin is making that life change for you. So, but not just at camp. You know, we've been blessed with amazing coaches and teachers and other people in the community and friends that just have poured into our kids. And so we're thankful for the other people and their impact and influence in our kids' lives. But, you know, at our house, one of the things that we have just fought to do is just to cover our kids in prayer and in scripture. And, you know, we can't make them do it. You can lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink. And but we just continue to try to encourage them to seek the things of the Lord. And we've seen them be excited about that in differing times in their lives and the positive influence that obviously comes for that. But, you know, when I think back of the things that we've done well or the things that we've struggled in, one of the things is just we've tried to do this, and I think we really are probably getting better at it every year, but just fighting for family, fighting for that time around the dinner table. We have six kids that are all involved in sports and other activities. And I'd love to tell you that every night we eat dinner at home, all eight of us at the table, or seven now with Hadley in college. But the reality is few and far between. But when it happens, that we fight for it and make it a priority. And those dinners turn into a lot longer than just eating, as we have great conversation and just fighting to be together, but fighting to cheer each other on and to prioritize being siblings and being part of our family has been important to us. I think things that we've struggled in or that we're learning, Melissa and I were talking recently, you know, when we had six in 10 years, we were just in such a hurry and we were on survival mode so often. I have a friend that calls it, you know, you're in the weeds, you know, you're just trying to get everybody fed and bathed and in bed and you're just surviving. And I think in the midst of that chaos, we missed opportunities to just really be there and not just be present, but to be there for their hearts. I think that's one of the things we're learning with our younger kids. I think we're a lot better parents to our younger kids when it comes to just slowing down and being patient. Our youngest is nine. She's absolutely hilarious. And, you know, we're kind of amazed at the things she says and sometimes shudder. But with our older kids, we wanted them to do everything right. And we were so worried about steering them and coaching them and trying to help them, you know, keep it on the straight and narrow and not make mistakes and not stumble and not scrape their knees. And we just wanted to protect them. And I think we missed opportunities to let them fail and then grow through that. And so the other day, our youngest, you know, she had a little argument with a friend at school and she blew it and she had to own it and she had to ask for forgiveness and she had to make it right. And I think with our older kids, we would have been ashamed. Like, oh my goodness, she's being that kid at school. We don't want her to be that. And with Monroe, it was so sweet to hear how it played out. And she even, you know, concluded the, you know, the forgiveness time with her friend going, "Could we pray together?" And that wasn't necessarily, you know, I don't know if that was taught as much as that she just had space to go, how do I do this in a right way? And I think with the older ones, we would have wanted to go, don't get in an argument, you know, don't be in a fuss with somebody else, but to let her fail and let her stumble and not to run from that, but to guide them through that. So we're learning so much. I mean, the other thing I would say, you know, to those that have lots of kids, you know, we never thought we'd have six kids. That wasn't something that we planned in advance, but we're so grateful for the opportunity to get to pour into these kids. And they come in all different shapes and sizes, and they all have their warts, and, you know, but God has blessed us. They really are pretty good kids, and we're thankful for them. But one thing I wrestle with is it's hard to do everything you want to do with six kids, and maybe it's four kids or three kids, and just going, there's times I've felt if I just had one or two kids, I think I'd be a lot better dad. I'd be a much better parent, whether just be more patient or have more time or do more special things. And so trying to do that with six and trying to fight to still do a breakfast with each of them as much as I can, or to take them on a daddy date, or to do something special with them. I want to do it for all of them, and I want to take them all six to Allen Fieldhouse to watch the Jayhawks, but I probably can't make that happen, but I can take one of them and to go and make memories and fight for that. And so I've noticed just doing a better job of that. We go to a lot of sporting events, and on the way home, if they stay awake long enough to have a conversation, I'm just fighting for those minutes to be intentional and not to be so worried about what happened in the game or the activity, but to go, man, what'd you have for lunch at school today? Who'd you sit by? What was something funny that a teacher said? That, you know, just getting into their world and understanding a little bit of where they're at and how God is growing them and teaching them, and just trying to love them where they're at and not be in such a hurry to solve all their problems, but to just encourage them and to love them and to serve them and invest in them. So we're learning a lot.
Yeah, you are. But we're learning a lot by watching you and Melissa and your children. You know, Bethany, one common theme I'm hearing as we continue with this wonderful podcast is Matt probably five times said we're fighting for our kids, we're fighting for our time. And, you know, I look back with just a gigantic lump in my throat, not only for our kids, but for all the kids that we get to work with, about just how, as parents, we have to fight for our kids. We have to fight for our time with our kids, because the social media world and the television world and the world of, as Beth said, just there's so many things to do. Fighting to get around the dinner table, fighting to lay by them at night, fighting to pray with them at night, fighting to have devotionals at the breakfast table. It is a fight to get all the social media junk out of our lives and get the crummy phones in the drawer for long periods of time and get the stinking TV off in our homes so that we can listen and be with and pray with and do the Bible with our kids. Fight worth winning, parents.
We'll jump back over to Jake and Emily Sizelov. And again, they're in those younger years of parenting. Their oldest is around five, and then it's down from there. So what are maybe just a couple things that you guys are really trying to instill in your kids, or hopes that you have as you parent them in these early years?
Yeah, I think as everyone has alluded to already, I think more than anything, what all of us want for our kids is for them to love sincerely love the Lord and be convinced that Christ is better than anything the world has to offer to. So I think, of course, like kind of working under that umbrella of loving the Lord with all our heart. Probably one specific thing that I can think of kind of under that umbrella that I would just love to train my kids up in is just how to walk through hardship. Honestly, like I would love to train them on how to do that. And I think a lot of that happens by us talking about our struggles and our hardships and our griefs and sorrows, being open about that with our kids and who is God amidst that. I think our oldest, again, you said she's five, but just truly trying to build a foundation, as Christ talks about in Matthew 7, that the rains are going to come and the winds are going to blow and slam against their house, but they will not fall if their house is built upon the rock. So spending these years kind of, as Matt said, trying as we can and all the weeds to just build that foundation of who our God is, that he is trustworthy and that he is faithful. I feel like we use a lot of language right now just in their little years, like, hey, we don't run away from hard things. We run our race. Like we kind of in those little years, that's kind of as far as it can get. Or just we talk really openly with our kids just about some hardships we've walked through already. So I think if there was, yeah, just a specific thing that I would like love in the future to see my kids walk well is just seeing them walk faithfully with the Lord through really hard stuff, knowing that that will come. And so I think we try to protect our kids from that and make sure that doesn't happen. But the reality is it will happen. And so just having confidence that they can trust who God is amidst hardship is just probably one specific thing and amidst a lot of
amazing,
things.
Amazing, so. Amazing. Jake, what would you add to that?
Yeah, thanks, Emily. I think that's a drum that we would just want to beat as a director team with our staff, as parents with our kids. I think the part that I would want to add to that is, man, I'm just realizing even with my five-year-old right now, like it is crazy how quickly my daughter can question my love for her. So as much as I want her to be convinced of God's love for her and her love for the Lord, I equally want her to be convinced of dad and mom's love for her. And so this is just more of a practical thing that's been a win for the Sizelove family in this like winter, spring, you know, 2024 season, would be fighting for ways to get Emily and myself one-on-one time with our kids outside the home. And that probably plays into our family, both stage of life, but also our kids' temperament. Like if you just took the, you know, a spectrum of temperaments, on one end you had the calm, tender, sweet temperament, and on the other side you had more of the full speed, pedal to the metal, living life on the edge, our kids tend to veer on that side of the temperaments. And so they love having fun and they love being outside. And so we can sometimes find ourselves at this stage of life just wanting to get through the evening with no broken houseware and no broken bones. And we're like, that is a win. But it's hard. And there's good that comes from it. There's good that comes from them learning how to share together, serve together. But it was actually our Emily's mom, my mother-in-law, that recommended, hey, I think you would benefit from getting your kiddos one-on-one time outside the home. And it has been a home run for us. I think just as I value one-on-one time with tuck-ins, that is a special time for our family right now. I would say getting one-on-one time that's just centered around having fun and letting my kids know, or reminding them, like, I enjoy you and I love you and I want time with you. It has been just a shift, what feels like a season of constant correction and discipline, and it's just given us windows to see them be in a beautiful way who God's made them to be and celebrate that. So we love Silver Dollar City. We have season passes. We make trips with Silver Dollar City, but sometimes, and I just realize even as it gets older, finding one-on-one times is harder, but whatever that window can be, I think what Emily and I have just practically is like once a semester, if I can get a good chunk of a day with each of my kiddos, we've reaped benefit of that and definitely in this season, but I hope in the seasons to come too.
Jake, there was a life-changing moment for me when my kids were younger as I was driving down the interstate and I saw a billboard and a quote by the renowned writer Oscar Wilde. And the billboard said, "Kids love home when home is the funnest place to be." And I just repurposed myself. When those kids came home from school and my dad came crashing in after a hard day of work, our home turned into a party. And we made stuff happen around our home. We made games all over our floor in our home. And we got on the floor with them. At least I did. I was into that. But just started just getting rowdy and playing putt-putt on the floor and playing every kind of game on the floor imaginable. I love playing with our kids. And so back to Beth Ann, as we started to get towards the end of this broadcast, one of our wisest men, you know, Colin Sparks, has been here for 22 years. And this summer, Colin is saying goodbye to his oldest daughter, at least goodbye to college. And we all know how teary-eyed and hard that is to say goodbye. But Colin, in this season, looking back and also looking ahead for Braden and Beckett at age 15, 13, what do you think would be helpful to our folks listening today?
Man, Joe, I mean, you know, they tell you the days are long and the years, you know, go by quick. And then all of a sudden you graduate your oldest and you begin to take inventory and you begin to look back and go, what would we have done differently? And are we thankful for the moments that we, you know, that we did have? I just, you know, I think for all the parents that are listening out there, there's never been a perfect parent. And I think every parent would look back and go, I could have done that a little bit different, and I could have done this a little bit different. But I think Rachel and I just said, we're going to parent with no regrets. You know, we've made our share of mistakes, but God is a God of grace. He is a God of wisdom. He gives wisdom. And we just said, we're going to pray and we're going to steward what God has entrusted us with, these little hearts. We can influence them, control them at the young age, but you move into that influence stage and you just ask God to help you, to give you the wisdom. And so I think I just want to speak that over parents out there, because I think there's a lot of parents that are single parents. They're, you know, going through just tough times, or kids are in just really, really tough places. You know, I think God is a God of grace. He is a God that is still working and shepherding and stewarding their little heart. And I think parents are out there just doing the best that they can. We are so thankful for our kids and are ready to send them out. They're going to be a blessing. Our sweet Ella will be a blessing to the world, and but not because of our parenting, but just because of God's grace and what He has done. There's a couple things, Coach, I think I would, you know, I think Rachel and I would both tell you that we would do a little bit different. The first thing is, we started just later in our parenting, is we had this thing where we just say, let's call them up, not call them out. And, you know, criticism, we always say criticism kills around camp. And criticism is natural, right? Why are the shoes on the stairs? Why can we not make our bed? Why are we not picking up? Why did you do this? And that's the natural, I think, parenting default. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I just said, I have a critical spirit with my kids. And so looking back of changing course midstream of just going, I want to give my kids vision. As Rachel and I just talked, what do we want? What are the main things? You know, is making their bed every day, is that the biggest thing that we want for our kids to send them out into the world? And it's not. And so I think we had to try to keep the main things, and then give our kids a vision for what they want to be. Who do they want to be? What do they hold? What do they value? And we did that in a lot of ways of not only talking about it, but we surrounded our kids. One of the greatest things I think that camp brought to our kids was they got surrounded by other role models and people that were living for the Lord. And it gave them a vision for how to walk in excellence and how to walk in faithfulness. It wasn't mom and dad's, you know, desire, but it was their vision. And so again, we keep the main thing. What are the things that are important? And we just ride the roller coaster. We know there are going to be hard. Last night was a hard night with our kids. But, you know, it'll rebound and there'll be great joys and great celebrations, but there'll also be valleys of frustration and failure. And so you just ride this, but if you don't begin with the end in mind, you'll find yourself frustrated knowing right as you ride that, you know, as you ride that wave. And so that's one thing I would have done just different, is I would have encouraged my kids more, just called them up and not got worried about why their stuff was on the stairs for the 10th day in a row, you know, but just to go, let me find those things that I see in you and to be intentional. If you're intentional in one thing, not only we were hearing about is time, but just in your encouragement. Let me find three things today to just let me speak life over you, to encourage you, what I see in you. I'm giving you a vision for what can be and could be. And our kids have responded to that in a much better way than criticism that. So, and we've heard a ton about creating moments and memories. You'll never regret creating too many. There's not a parent out there that said, we created too many moments or too many memories with our kids. Those are the things that our kids talk about. They don't talk about Christmas gifts. They don't talk about the things that they have. They don't talk about their grades. They don't talk about any of that stuff, but they do talk about the moments that we created as a family and the 10 gallons of Bluebell that we brought in and just said, hey, it's unlimited Bluebell tonight. And there's no restrictions. So those are the things that we talk about and I think we hold dear and would continue to encourage younger parents in the survival mode to just create moments and just know that God, it's a stewardship, that you're making deposits and there's going to be withdrawals. But just keep making deposits. Do the best you can to just spend time, create moments, encouragement. And I think God uses that. And you see amazing kids come out of it.
So Beth Ann, looking back at our family, our home is filled with bumps and bruises. My kids deserved a better father. They had an awesome mother, but there were just a lot of days I felt like a failure. There were a lot of days that I would grade my report card at the end of the day, and I go, Joe, you got a D plus today, or you got an F today. Somehow they survived, you know, very average father. I'm thankful that they're the kind of parents they are today. I'm thankful for 17 grandkids that lean into the Lord. They're doing a better job than I did. I would just encourage other parents today that are really going through some horrible times as parents. Welcome to my little club. But one thing that I hear in this room that's constant that I'm thankful for in my little home, that I'm thankful for in our little home, is that the Lord's constant. He always makes an A+. And early on with our kids, somehow I learned that if I could take the time that I had and pour Jesus into the hearts of my kids, because I wasn't very good at it, but Jesus was great at it, and to transfer as much as I could the leadership of our home to Jesus and the Word of God, that the kids were going to be okay, even though they, you know, like would fire their dad from time to time. I'd go, you just fired me. And they go, no, I didn't. I go, well, pretty much I'm unemployed. But Jesus was always employed. And we've talked about it on this show before, but it's worth talking about again, about just pouring scripture into kids in those breakfast devotionals. You got to have them, folks. Somebody's got to have a devotional at the breakfast table. And then the evening tuck-in time, you know, somebody's got to do that. Either mom's got to do it or dad's got to do it. Somebody's got to do that. And in those times, you know, we would always memorize scripture. And that was my passion with my kids, was to help the kids memorize scripture with their daddy. By the grace of God, they're carrying that scripture in their lives today to their kids. Beth Ann, as we wrap, and bless your heart if you close in prayer, I just want to say, folks, that God's the father to the fatherless. He's the father to the crippled mom and the crippled dad who are not there as much as they wish they should be. He's the father to the single mom's home. He's the father to the single dad's home. And he's a really good father.
Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you that you are a father. And God, we thank you for the gift of children, Lord, and for the responsibility that you've entrusted with us, God, to steward their lives as long as you'd give them to us. And God, we pray today for all the parents out there and all those who prayerfully will be parents one day, God, that we would lean into your spirit, God, that we would walk in your grace, God, that you would allow us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, God, and to point these young hearts to you. So God, would you encourage those out there who are maybe in a tough season or struggling in parenting? God, would you help us all, Lord, to fight for time and to fight for our kids? God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.